Whom landed a block Gemara? We're in Daf Mem Dalad Amid Aleph, and we're trying to work out why Shutfin cannot be. We learned of trying to understand why this person over here, the original owner, cannot testify on behalf of the person who bought it from the Ganef. So we gave this whole idea is that he has a vested interest in keeping it by the Ganef, by the buyer of the Ganef, rather than by Yehuda, the guy who claimed it's his, because with Yehuda he can't deal with, but with the Ganef he could. Or at least with the buyer of the Ganef. So they want to ask a question, why do you b'chali have to bring interest to the buyer? Just talk about the Ganef. The same thing. You want it to belong by the Ganef, because him you can take to court and take your field back. So you have a vested interest. You shouldn't be able to testify. So we answered that we, in order to explain the second half when it comes to the Talklin, why he could advocate on behalf of the buyer, and because Yishin Rishus, he won't get it back from the buyer anyway, so he has no difference to him anyway, so then he's believed. So that's why we mentioned by buyer. Freddy Gemara, he the Miyayish Megufim, the Mermi Miyayish. I don't understand what you're talking about. He still has a vested interest. If it falls in Yehuda's hands, then he has no compensation. The Shimon, the one who's saying that it was originally his. But if it falls into the Lekeach's hand and the buyer, Levi hand, true, Levi doesn't have to give back to him. But now he can go to Reuven, the Ganef, and say, Reuven, you stole my thing, give it, pay me back. So there's still a vested interest there. Like Tzricha de Miz Gazan, we're talking about the Gazan died. So and the din is that the Gazan dies, the children are not mechuyev to pay off their father's stolen debts. Hence, he has no benefit whatsoever if he claims that it belongs not to Yehuda but to Levi, because to him it makes no difference. Either way, he will never get compensated for this Geneva. Now we learn how goes. If somebody steals the Michael, one of them feeds it over to his children, and he left it for them, the children don't have to pay. So that, because it's not mechuyev to pay the father's debts. Even a real. So what? It doesn't matter. Now it's like Shinu Rishus, he doesn't have to pay.
No, seen him, no, yeah. The food's been gone, it's been consumed, hasn't it?
Yeah, Hagoizel and Michael is bottom. Yeah, if the Ivan name is Ben, you have to get back. He's talking about why you have to pay.
You talk about careful, yeah?
They have debts, and you know.
You don't have to pay a penny of it. Not a cent. Only if there's properties, if there's assets, then you have to pay.
He's not talking about giving back the actual stolen item. If the stolen item still exists, it has to be given back. He's talking about paying the.
Paying
penalty.
For it. The penalty or the monetary equivalent, exactly. Freddy Gemara, the Lukme be Yiddish. So why don't we just talk about that instead of talking, introducing a buyer here to do, the guy died, and talk about the heir. And there's a Honichel Amanda Omar Shus Yiddish, Lavka Shus Yiddish, if you hold that a Yiddish is not like a Lekeach, okay, we want to talk about a case where there's Yiddish Shin Rishus by Metalklin. In order to have Shin Rishus, you have to bring in a Lekeach, a third party. Elo the man damar reshus yedish kishus lekeach dami, the one who holds that a yedish has the same thing like lekeach, he's a buyer, so there's yedish in reshus. So why introduce a lekeach? Talk about a regular yedish. Ma'ikal meima, and you want to talk about a yedish in the first case. But furthermore, kashla the buyer, a buyer asks a question. If so, why does the braiser say the difference between a cow and a property? That by property he's responsible, and therefore he cannot testify. But by a cow he's not responsible. He could. That's not the vorte. The vorte is whether he gets anything out of it. He doesn't get anything out of it. Whether he gets something back from it, not whether he has to pay out money. Whether he gets something back from it by the property he does, and by the party he doesn't, because the guy died and his children won't have to pay it. El, I'll tell you, pshat in this whole braise. Like this, the braise started off saying if you sold a house or you sold a field, he cannot testify. He cannot testify because he has some kind of geber davar. If he sold a bull and somebody claims that it was stolen, he could testify on behalf of the buyer. So we introduced the whole maise, but stolen property. It was a whole long v'shap to maise. Says the Gemara, another pshat in the whole braise. Kederavim b'shmo. Damar Rav b'shmo was made the shmo. La moiches tzad de chaveda. Forget stolen all that. Reuven sells a field to Shimon. Shaloi be'achrayis. It takes no responsibility. Yet ain meyid loy. And if somebody comes over to Shimon, no. If Shimon loses the property, Reuven says, "I'm not responsible. That's what we made up." But if somebody comes over to Shimon, that property that Reuven sold you was stolen property. So the chayda, you might think that Reuven can now be an aide on behalf of Shimon, that the property is not stolen, to get with another aide, because Reuven makes no difference one way or another because he didn't take a chayis. Kamashal, he cannot testify. Why not? This is what we had yesterday, 2 days ago. Reuven has any outstanding debts, and he sold the property after the loan. So then, even though he didn't think a chayiv is, but the Baal Chayiv has the right to go to Shimon and schlep the property back. And Reuven, as we'll soon see, has a vested interest in the Baal Chayiv getting paid. Reuven doesn't care, he's destitute. Because he doesn't want loy the Russia v'lo yishalom. If you borrow, you don't pay back. You're called labeled a Russia. This way, he could say to the Balva, "I paid you back. You went to Shimon, you got your field back. I Shimon, I didn't take any chayis. So therefore, I have a vested interest in having the in keeping it by Shimon, by the buyer, so that the Balchayv can take it." Says the Gemara, "Dafke by Sada." So Dafke, this works by a bias or a Sada, where the Balchayv can come and take it. So I have a vested interest. But if I sold a cow or a talus with the Baal Chayv has no lien on them, then I have no vested interest. If I did not take responsibility, I have no vested interest, so therefore I can testify on behalf of the buyer. We don't have to say in the case where I did not take responsibility, definitely there's no outstanding loan, who cares, because the Baal Chayv definitely has no rights to it. The reason is because it's metalklin, there's no lien on properties, on metalklin from a Baal Chayv, so therefore the seller has every right to advocate on behalf of the buyer if he did not take responsibility because he has no interest. But I forgot the kosla. Even if he wrote in the wording this time, "Miglima de al kaspe," even if he told the lender, "I'm gonna, you know, I owe you $100, and you could take off the shirt of my back," that lien does not get transferred to the buyer. If it's still present with the borrower, if it's no longer present with the borrower, but he unsold the loy. Ella, but I feel.
That's it.
Understand that. Even if apoyteke means you clearly designate this particular item, that if I don't pay you this and this time, you can collect from here. The word apoyteke is three words. Poi, tehe, koi. So even, but when it comes to metalklin, even if I insert it into the shtar and I say, you could take this cow, loy, nevertheless, the Baal Chayv has no rights to this cow. My timer, kederava, the famous rava we had in Pesachim and other places, who says... Rava said, "Osa avda apoyteke umochroi." If somebody made his eved an apoyteke and then sold it, so I said that this eved is a lien on this eved to this loan. But then I turned around and I sold it. By selling it, I usurped that shibut. Baal Chayv gave me menu. Sorry, an eved. We said an eved might have like a karka. So the Baal Chayv could collect. My timer, what's the reason? When it comes to an Eved, everyone knows that you made a lien on it, so nobody should have bought it. And if you bought it, it's their own tough luck. When it comes to a cow or a talis, which there's no real coil about that, was that there's a lien on it. If somebody buys it, it's not fair, so we protect the buyer. Okay, Freddy Gemara, so you're telling me that he has no vested interest and that's why he can testify on behalf of the buyer of the potter, since he takes no achrayis. And there's no Baal Chayv here involved, so therefore he has nothing to gain by saying it still belongs to, that I had a right to sell to Shimon and it belongs to Shimon, therefore we believe him. Why can't it be that there is a lien to the Baal Chayv? How can there be a lien to a Baal Chayv on a potter? For example, just like you can sell somebody karke and metalte, you don't have to make kinya metalte. So too, when it comes to a lien, if I have a lien on karka and I tag along to it also some metalklin, it does get the lien also falls on the metalklin. So if the Amar Rabba said,
so if you're coin a metalklin agav karka,
just like you coin a metalklin karka, you cause me a shibud a metalklin agav karka.
If you coin a metalklin agav karka, all the laws of buying karka part of that metalkali, or just that happens that you didn't need to do a kinyan?
You don't do a kinyan. You don't need a kinyan, if shad is the kinyan made on the karka, is also chalon.
Yeah, but my next question is, as a result of that, like you're making distinctions between metalkali and karka, and all these sorts of things, right? Machayas and all this. So if you do the kinyan agav, is it still metalkali, but you just didn't have to do a kinyan on it?
Or
it's
got all the rules of the karka
now? As far as shibud is, it has all the rules. You're in a gay bedava now. The Baal Chayv has a right to collect his shibud from this potter because you mishabed. You weren't sold to him. You mishabed. We're talking about just like you have a din of kinyan agav karka by metalin agav karka, we also have a din of shibud of metalin agav karka, according to Rava. So if you made a kinyan, according to Rava, Rava. You made a kinyan you made a shibud of metaltin agav karka. And nothing was with kinyon and buying. I'm not saying anything. The bal chayv, I'm telling bal chayv. Okay, right. And therefore, it's just like it has a din of shibud, not a din of karka, a din of shibud. So I'm in the gabed of it now. L'chayda. I sold it to Shimon, the potter comes along like me and says it's stolen. If I go over to Shimon, I say, Shimon, that, you know, it's really yours and I have another aid with me that was used to belong to me and I sold to you. If I do that, I have a vested interest because I have an outstanding bal chayv. This, and I don't want him to call me a rosher because I'm not paying my loans. And that bal chayv, when I said a shibud to him, I gave him the potter together with the property. Together, they equal the value. So now he goes ahead and this bal chayv has the right to take the potter. So I have a vested interest in keeping my shimon.
I understand. That's my question. Let's assume I've got liabilities,
no.
Right? And so therefore, my kark is meshubah to those liabilities, right?
Yeah.
But my kark, necessarily my metaldim are not meshubah to that liability. But if I then sell submit the kark, I then sell metaltolin. So
what
therefore,
was that
meshubah?
No, for sure not.
And the
definitely not. No. Yeah, but it's only if I'm meshabed it clearly. Okay. Yeah. Rabbi said, that the shiba is chal on both. But Omar Rav Chizda said, provided that he wrote the loikas machta. And when do we say that the metaltlin is included in the shibud? When he sold the kark, he sold with the shtar. And he writes the loikas machta, that this is not like an asmachta, they shouldn't treat it like asmachta. We write that in the ksuva, loikas machta. The loikas toifse the shtar, not like the shtaras you write, which are meaningless, I'm, you know, practicing a shtar. So we see that what? If you write that, then there's a shibud on the pot as well. So why doesn't he have a vested interest? It's talking about that he bought the potter and the talis and he immediately sold it right in front of us. There's no loan. We know there was no loan between you. In other words, the only time that we can take a trust in when it comes to a potter, when the Braisa says that he can swear on behalf of the Shimon, who's being accused of buying stolen property, or stolen cow, is only if we know that he bought the cow and 5 minutes later he sold it. There was no time in between for him to make any take out any loans. So the Gemara with Leichos, that does not help. Dilma Iknu, maybe when he took out a loan before, and he said before he sold it, bought the cow, Reuven before he bought the cow, but he, when he borrowed the money, he says, anything that I buy, not only anything that I own right now, anything that I'll buy in the future, you have a lien on. So the cow is included, even though he didn't buy the cow yet. So what's it help me if we don't see a loan between the moment he bought the cow and the moment he sold the cow? But maybe a week before he took out a loan and he wrote, everything I'll buy in the future. Shamat mino, unless let's prove it from here. When the Gemara later on has a question that remains at Tzorechin, why don't we answer from here? Let's bring it from here. The ikne kona, umacha kona v'hoidish, lo mishtabit. That if he says that you want to know if he says future tense, I will buy. Is the shibud able to be chal on things that you don't have right now in your shoes, but you will buy tomorrow? And the Gemara remains in Tzorechin. Let's be right from here. Clearly, does not chal. That's why Reuven has no vested interest. He can tie on behalf of Shimon, because we saw him buy the cow 5 minutes later to sell it, and there's no time in between. Maybe yesterday took out a loan, and he said, "Kol Masha Yikin." It doesn't matter because it's not chal. Let's bring it out. And why doesn't he bring it out? Yeah? So he says, "Lo itzricha the comedy Adim." Adim say, "Yadinin be bahai." We know for a fact the lo havele adam me'olam. We know for a fact that there was no shibud. It cannot be a shibud on the potter because he never owned a piece of land in his life. The only way he can be a shibud on the potter is if he was meshabed his land and agav the land. He's also meshabed the potter, but he never owned a piece of land in his life. How do we know he never owned a piece of land in his life? So he brings you an interesting bein chanan. Let's look at the Rashbam inside. About 12 lines into the wide lines. 10 lines. Right in the middle of the line, there's a dalet with a bracket. U'pidush Rabbeinu Chananel. You see it? U'pidush Rabbeinu Chananel. Yadinan be bahai de lo havi le'ad. How in the world can Adi come along and testify we know for a fact he had no land? How do they know? Me'olam tzrichi lahasudi hochi. This is how they have to testify. Ze ho'ish lo nishparesh mimenu. This man never, ever left us. This man never left us. The day he came into this world, Imagine.
We've been with him every day of his life.
Ubadi lana b'meshekana. We know exactly what he did every day in his life, what he bought. V'chilekana kakim ha'olam. Lay b'matana v'lay b'pkniya. How can you have such edim? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little bit theoretical.
That's still 12 years old. Here, this is like it's coming. Ages already over. But now, Tesis is a famous Tesis, so you should always remember the Tesis. Tesis here, the Lahavale Adam Elam. The Tesis is a real Tzioni. So we're saying here, there's a Metzius that a person cannot own land. Does not have any land. That's why when it comes to a Prusbul, you know, you have to make sure that you have some land. Says Tesis, Mikan Shuvah. Actually, Tesis, that's such a big Tzioni. Mikan, from here, is a response. La'omim, to those of the Shainim who say, the Mashinagu Lichta Bahashois. It's written by Hashoah when you give over a right, a power of attorney. The Nosati Le Arba Amad Bechatzeli. Afagav De Les Le Karka. Or people make a Prusbul. Even though you don't own land, you say, you know, that I gave him 4 Amas.
He's saying,
yes, that's how you do it. Yeah. Or the thing applies to proof or anything else. Anywhere where there's land. And I say, I gave him over a piece of land. And they argue, how can you say, what if you don't own any land? Well, how can you make this a standard lashon of a hashah, maybe you don't own land? And they want to argue, Mishum the Ein Loch Adam She'ein Loi Arba Amas Be'eretz Yisrael. Every Jew owns 4 Amas in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Rebbe Moshe Rengin said, that why the government in Israel has no right to give back any land. It's not theirs. Every Yid in the world has an inalienable right to 4 Amas in Eretz Yisrael. That's what they want to say. Or inami, other shiny want to learn pshat. The ein loch adam shein loy dal amas the kivre. Every person has a right to be buried in the ground. So therefore, you can have 4 amas there. Even though there are countries in Europe now, they bury one top of the other. And then after 10, 20 years in Holland, in Belgium, they take everybody out. Yeah. In Haraz Eishin, there's still empty places.
Not a lot.
There is. There's still some. The guy showed us around. Yeah. I don't know what it costs, but it's available. The Hoch, the Tesis, there are two opinions. Either every Yid. Now, those who explain. That's right, exactly. Oh, you have, every person has a right to be buried in the ground, and it's going to happen. So even though you don't have it right now, it's as if you have it already. So we're saying now it's kind of also ownership. But here, the chiddush is you don't even own it now. I'll own it, you know, in 120 years. You can already write in a star today the land that I own. So I'm giving away the right. But the first day is the most important one. The Roshayim will hold that every Eid owns 4 Amas in Israel. And Tesis disagrees based on this Gemara right here. Because the Gemara says, you can never make a Shibud on Parah because we know for a fact this guy never owned property. But you tell me every Eid owns property. The Hocha Mashma, the Efshein Lekarka. But others answer, it's not transferable. But you do, because by Hashah, what are they learning?
What can you do with it?
It's the right that you can be buried in my place, where I'm supposed to be buried. But they explaining that is what the Hashoah is. I'm saying I'm giving you over land, so it's transferable. I'm giving you over land, or the 4 Amas Yisrael, I can elect to give it over to somebody else. So it says Tesis. So how come over here the Gemara says it's possible, unless you already gave away the land? Every year it's 4 Amas Yisrael. What happens? You already gave it away to somebody else. Then you have no land left. So that's, maybe there's a hechitim. So, oh, you gave it. You already wrote it in Hashah to somebody. You gave it to somebody. You knew, how many kvarim do you have? So maybe that's pshat in those Rishonim. Anyway, the Igazach I want to show you is that the day in Rishonim that every Jew owns 4 Amas in Israel. And nobody can take that away from us. Okay, back to Gemara. Remember, Tesis Mem Dalu Mabez.
It's not right
to give it away because it's land. It's our land. He gave it to us. He gave it to us. Our Oris Nasal Neodim. We have to behave like we're supposed to.
We're giving back land.
Exactly. So this is the Rebbe, one wonderful ring. I remember only saying it once. Talk about, even halacha, try to answer somebody in Bnei Brak was going around saying, you know, we can live without it. 2,000 years we didn't have Israel, so we don't have it for another 2,000 years. Remember that? Anyway, back to the Gemara. There's another thing, yeah. Okay, back to the Gemara. asking him about it. Yeah. So and the Rabbi Khan is interesting. So we hung around him for the day he came to the world. Yeah. Share from whom? Interesting. Bokra Tan, okay. Email it, yeah. The Papa said, even though the Rabbanan said, I'm a fealty for him without responsibility. But it's still a question. It's still the best interest. Why? Because the Papa said that even if you sold the property without any, I take no achrayas. Came along a lender and took it away from Shimon. So the chayda Reuven took no responsibility. Einu chayzer alav. Shimon cannot go back to Reuven Tainus because Reuven told you, I sold it, you take the full risk. And in a way, you're happy because even though you might have only used the karka for a year, people do buy properties for a year. We had more moments here. But nimtza shein shaloi. But what happens? Not that the Baal Chayv came and took him Shimon. A guy came over and says, Shimon, you just bought stolen property. Then even though Reuven said, I'm not taking responsibility, Shimon can go back to Reuven and say, pay me back. Why? Because you never made a sale. Because at least in the case of the lender, when I bought it, it was real, it was mine, and I had some use of it, and then the lender came and took it away, and that was a risk I took. But over here, I never had a right to it, because it didn't buy. If it's stolen property, I had to give him back the property, I had to give him back all the payers I ate, because I had no right to, had nothing. And karka, there's no shinya reshus here, because karka always remains with the bailim. So therefore, I can go back to you. So the chayda, if we're talking about stolen property, then Reuven always has a vested interest in making sure that it remains with Shimon. It shouldn't come back to him. Nimtza sheish lo, wasn't stolen property. Chayzer olav, you can go back to him. So what do you mean Reuven has no vested interest? You, the buyer, said, I know that it belonged to Reuven. The moment you say that you know it belonged to Reuven, the Reuven's absolved. And if Levi comes this way, it's between you and Levi. Just like you knew it was Reuven's, I also knew it was Reuven's. I am Reuven, I thought it was mine. So therefore, I'm absolved. Rabbi disagrees. Rabbi says, even in a case, it turned out to be stolen goods, if I sold you a property, and I said, I take no responsibility no matter what happens. Even if it's stolen, I said, I'm not taking responsibility. I'm not going to say even if it's stolen, those words. I'm going to say that I take no responsibility to whatever happens. Here's the sale, that's it. I'm giving you a discounted price, and you're taking the risk. Then the Omalela, you think I was trying to bavor in the Baal Chayiv? No, I was trying to bavor. People accuse you of accusing me of being stolen property. Yeah.
You can say that a person always has a vested interest because of their reputation.
We had that a little bit. We had that in Baba Kama, was it, basically, that a person doesn't want to be known. The whole Gemara, Reuven and Shimon, if he's standing and advocating on behalf, he doesn't want to have a name of being a stolen person. I think even Taisa brings it on, yeah? No. We had in Baba Kama, a few days I think it is, when they talked about it. I can't remember what the difference between this Gemara. Then Taisa there brings this Gemara here now. The difference. Good for, let's analyze it. Amar Ravin Shmuel, Shmuel Shmuel. Ravin said the name of Shmuel, Hamoich Sadir Lechaveder Shalei Bachreis. He said the name of Shmuel, if you sell a property without a chreis, ain't made loyalea. He cannot testify. And the vote was, Neshimah Mila Balchayv, he's happy for Shimon to have it, so the Balchayv can come and take it from Shimon, and he's happy as Larry. Hey Chidami, what are we talking about? Even though he's not responsible, he doesn't want to be called Levi Roshalei Shalom. What are you talking about? If Reuven has other properties and the lender is not going to go to the buyer, Ambi Hadin has to go for Reuven. He'll go back to Reuven. So what's the problem? And either unless he's bankrupt, he has no other properties. So if he has no other properties, what's going to happen? So the Baal Chayv will go to Shimon and seize the property. Now Shimon turns around to Reuven and says, Reuven, you owe me money now to pay. And Reuven says, sorry, I have no money. So now he's a new Baal Chayv and he can't pay. So he's still called a Rasha. So mine have committed to him, who calls him a Rasha? And so why can't he stand there and advocate on behalf of Shimon? He has nothing to gain because either way he's a Rasha. He has no other property. But with the Amr, he says, I don't want to be called a Rasha. What does he gain? He's a Rasha for the other guy. He's not going to be called a Rasha. He's not going to be called a Rasha because he sold to him with Arachrayas. And that's, I'm not there. So there's no loan here. I owe you nothing because I told you clearly I'm not taking any responsibility. Machris Rove, Robin made an announcement. We tell him about Papa. He said the following interesting. He wrote a letter. The Salkin Le'ela, all those people who are traveling to Eretz Yisrael from Babel to Israel, is called you going up. And the Nachtin Le'Satan, all those who are going down to Babel, listen carefully to the following din. I don't know, do we ever have the expression anywhere else? He's talking to Klal Yisrael.
On the highway when he said this or something.
Or he's talking to the whole Klal Yisrael. Salkin Le'ela, Nachtin Le'Satan. We don't find anywhere that Rebbe went to Eretz Yisrael ever. Hi, Bar Yisrael. Interesting. All those Amoraim are living in Babel. I always wondered why they never made the trip to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't that far away.
It's go up the desert. It's not a desert or whatever.
That word, the trip to go once in life at Israel. Oh, could be. Okay. Abai was a farmer, we know, so he was busy. Hi, Bar Yisrael. The Zavi Lechamre Lisol Chavre. Listen very carefully to the following announcement. He said, this Bar Yisrael, if a yid, the Zavi Lechamre, Reuven sold a donkey to Shimon, Chavre, his friend. And a guy came along and said to Shimon, the buyer of the donkey, it's my donkey, and he's forcing him. Dinu, and remember, you sold it to him, Reuven sold him. Reuven, you have responsibility to him. You have to help him out, you have to save him, you have to talk for him. You have to talk for him away from the guy, because the guy generally probably is not saying the truth, and you need to stand and prove that the cow belonged to you. And the Rashbam says the most palatable thing here. Rashbam says you should go take the look at the first wide line, middle wide line. Yeah, and because the guy here seems to be saying the truth, because the Gemara later on will say he's taking the donkey and not the saddle, which means the guy believes. Yeah. The guy is coming to Tain, and he's probably saying the truth because he's only arguing about the donkey and the saddle. Let's look at the middle part. The hilchach, right in the middle of the line. The hilchach, therefore, dinuhu, the din is, the mefatzele, you need to stand there and talk. Come on, point says David, after save David, his connect. Mecherev ro, the yavi edim, the yodinim akum, ula yetzienim yodah, you have to take him to court and fight him. The akum tzaisi dinahem. You hear what Hashem says here? Goyim, listen to courts. The eating got a problem. But we learned a few days ago, remember we learned? Bai Rava says, we are good people. We listen to the Yonim. Very few do. But Goyim, says Rashbam here, Saisi Dinah, listen to the courts. Amazing. Let's go two more lines. Back to Gemara. When do we say that? If the guy, only if the guy comes with a taina that it sounds legitimate, then you have a chiv to try to help out the buyer. But if the guy is coming in by force, what can you do? Nothing. So why get involved? Elush Eina Makaboshi Bas Chamoyri. But if Shimon the buyer said, I know for a fact that this belonged to Reuven, then Shimon can fight his own fights. If he did not take the donkey and the saddle, just took the donkey, that demonstrates to us he's being genuine. The guy said, I want the donkey and I want the saddle, which means he's just a ganef. Then loy, what can I do? However, Amema says, I feel like a kolhani loy, the eid does not have to get involved. Even if I ask for the donkey, you think the guy is innocent? My time, may the yod, everyone knows, a stam oivig chavim anusu, a stam goy is just a ganef and he's trying to take advantage. Shenemer says, asha pm dibeshov, the words come out of his false, the yeminum yemin sheker, and the right eye is sheker. No, so why should I get involved?